Welcome to Built to Go, a van life podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Wagg, coming to you from the College of Curiosity. And I am currently in, or near, or somewhere in the Windward Islands, specifically St. Vincent, if my map is correct. And, well, let's do a little bit of time travel. You see, I am in your past, coming to you in your present about a place that I will be in my future. Yeah, I'm recording this for a future episode because I know that when this is released, I will be on the very large, wet, wind-powered van, the Royal Clipper. And I won't be in a situation where I can record effectively. So, what I have for you, though, is another bit of time travel. We're going to go back to VanFest, and we're going to talk with some wonderful folks who are doing the van life in different ways. Some of the things these folks have to say is very interesting. So, right ahead.
Okay. My name is Bruce. I'm in a 21 Ram ProMaster 2500. I'm from Maine. It's where my storage unit is, anyway.
Hi, this is John. I'm in a Ford Transit high roof extended crew cab. Self-converted the rear portion of the van into a camper, and I'm from Middle Tennessee, Nashville area.
All right.
Hey, everybody. Nellie here. I travel in a 2014 Transit Connect. No build, basically, and I'm from Michigan when I am at the house.
Well, guys, thank you very much. So you're all here at VanFest. Let's see. This is my second time. Bruce, what's third time?
Fourth
time. Oh, because you did the Cape.
Cape Cod.
Okay. Yeah. How about you? Second time for you, John? Nelly? First timer. All right. So if those of you listening aren't familiar, VanFest USA is an organization that creates van life events across the country. Started out in Utah, was bought in... had a whole big history during COVID, as did we all. But now it seems like there's two key events they do, which is Van Fest Liftoff, which is where we are in Melbourne, Florida, basically. And then in the late summer, they do it on Cape Cod in the Falmouth area. And that is called, I think it's just Van Fest Cape Cod?
Escape to the Cape.
Escape the Cape. Escape to the Cape. Later you try to escape the Cape and you realize that the bridges are... not sufficient for the traffic, but that's a whole other thing. So we are here hiding in a tent because it is so windy, and even though we're in Florida, a lot of people here feel like we're actually in Michigan. What was the temp this morning? 34? 34 degrees here in Melbourne, which is warmer than Chicago. It's still pretty cold down here, so I was glad I had my diesel heater. So we're just going to chat about stuff and what we've seen at VanFest and everything. And this is going to be a very unstructured podcast to just give you an idea of what happens at VanFest. So how many rigs do you think are here?
300 registered.
300 different rigs registered. And John, what have you seen? What was the most interesting rig you've seen here?
So the most interesting rig was a little Transit... the miniature-sized Transit, and that guy has utilized every square inch of that van for space, and he's hung different things on the exterior of the van, including a generator, gas heater, a mini-split air conditioner.
He's got a mini-split in his...
AC-powered mini-split air conditioner.
Wow!
And he's got two cargo pods on drawer slides.
Wow!
Mounted to the outside of his van. Now, why does he have them on drawer slides? So that he can slide them back out of the way so he can open both the doors.
Wow.
Very clever.
Giving you any ideas, Nelly?
I love those vans just because it was my first van that I ever had. So when I see those high-top Transits, it's just like, oh, what I could have done. But I don't know. I like mine.
And so you've got the newer style of Transit Connect.
Yeah, they changed, I think, in 2011 was the last one that was the high-top.
And so, yours is longer, though, I think.
It's a long wheelbase, yep, which I would highly recommend with those little things.
Yeah, so you can't stand up, right?
Can't stand up.
And how much of a pain in the ass is that?
I don't care. I kind of squat or I forward fold, I guess, to make my bed and things. And everything, I mean, it works out great for me.
You guys been in rigs that you can't stand up?
No.
Nope, you guys have always been in stand-up rigs?
I've done some car camping and... Mm-hmm. The same solution I've seen a lot of folks with the shorter vans use, which is a rolling chair.
Yeah, that's so... I'm down here in my truck shell, which is, anyway, there's lots of stories. But the very first thing I did in the truck show was I put in a rolling office chair, and that makes such a huge difference. When you get in the back, you sit in the chair, and then you can wheel to the desk or wheel to where you're going to cook, or you just wheel around, and it's actually super comfortable. The only thing I have trouble with is putting on pants. So what other weird things have you seen here? Like Nelly, all right, so let's start with you, Nelly. This is your first time here. So how does this match your expectations?
I'd say it's pretty much what I expected. I've been to other van festivals before, like Tiny Fest and Descend. It's not as crazy as Descend, that's for sure.
So when you say crazy, we're like, was Descend kind of approaching?
It was a party.
It was a party, okay, yeah.
Yep. So this is more, I think, about connecting and getting inspired by each other's rigs and things like that. And there are some vendors here, but they're not here yet. Like, they're not really open.
Yeah, this is day one, and this is the day just for us, basically. They haven't opened the doors to the general public. Tomorrow, people will come here just to, like, walk around and look at rigs and get ideas and stuff. So it's a little bit of a different vibe. But it's very, very friendly here. I mean, I'm always amazed that there's 300 rigs and, I don't know, 400 people here. And it's like you know everybody, even though you've never met them before.
Yeah, we just strike up conversations, like, before we even introduce each other or learn each other's names, we're talking, you know, for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it's great. It's like family.
And John, you came here with other people, right?
Here with my wife, and then we're affiliated with an organization on Facebook called the Florida Van Life Gatherings Group. So it's a Facebook group. I think about 3,000 members.
Oh, jeez, wow.
Very active group. They have meetings and gatherings all over the state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
We've attended them. We just did one in DeSoto, Florida.
Ah.
Beautiful area if you need to get a reservation there. But
what's that like? Because I heard Florida, like, it's not very easy to van life in Florida. So do you always usually pay for your camping? Or
So with the Florida Van Life Gatherings bunch, they are mostly folks that are based here in Florida. They know the area. They'll do quick gatherings where they bring in a bunch of vans, but they aren't necessarily camping together. So at DeSoto, for example, people were camping at different locations. We camped at DeSoto State Park. Actually, it was a county park. We camped at the county park. And then some people were stealthing it, you know, staying in hotel parking lots or whatever. And then a bunch of people, they just come together, you hang out all day long, you have a potluck, they do great potlucks. And then they break up and go their different ways for the night. And then sometimes, I think they have 50 vans here at this event. So a good chunk of the attendance here is Florida Van Life. And they're organized, they'll meet up outside of the venue and they'll come in line. And there's a bunch of them over there together. But anybody can join. You don't have to be from Florida. We're from Tennessee. And if you bring something to the potluck, they do very good potlucks. But these types of events, normally my wife and I, we like to go. You know, my motto is we go where people ain't. So we like to go places. We're retirees, so we go places that everybody else is working. We can get into easier. We like to go places during the shoulder season. But occasionally we like to get together with other like-minded people and come to these types of events. And VanFest Liftoff is a very laid-back event. It's not crazy. It's not super loud.
Yeah.
They have a quiet space, which is where we are, even though this area is not particularly crazy. And you go around and just walking around the vans, you'll make five friends along the way.
Yeah.
You know, we've traded contact information with multiple people already.
Yeah, I ran into someone this morning who does a podcast about mental health, and now we're going to do a cross podcast about mental health and van life, so stay tuned for that. We haven't recorded it yet, but I think it'll be interesting because she's a really interesting person. So, Bruce, you've been to a bunch of these.
Yeah, and just to follow up on your comment, as far as van lifing in Florida, and this time of year, I mean, you can hop from one to the other. This is Van Fest, you can go to Schoolie Swarm, you can go to Peace Love Vans. There's others, and then there's usually a week or between, and then there's a Southwest Florida Water Management Area, I think that's what it's called, and they have like primitive camping, or what's it, diverse camp, whatever the other words are for it.
A dispersed camping.
Dispersed, that's the word I was looking for. So there's a lot of that, and then also if you check the state parks, if you can tolerate this, but if you check every day, you can find cancellations. And I've gone all through the Keys that way.
Gotcha.
Like going into the Keys, not having any reservations, and then, you know, Honda or whatever it is has one this night, and then I can go to Key Largo another night, and then there's the Stealth in between, you know, Cracker Barrel, Lowe's, whatever. So I find it pretty doable, van lifing in Florida.
It's like you just have to not be dumb. You know, like Key West is a very difficult place to stealth van life. Some people get away with it, but it's a big fine, and they're looking for you. And if you try to, like, do stealth camping outside Disney World, no, it's not going to work. So you just don't do that. You go places where you're going to spend one night, get in late, get out early, and don't bother anybody, and you're probably going to be fine.
And if you get away from the coast, too.
Yeah, you can stay away from the beaches.
Central Florida, they don't care what you're doing.
Yeah.
In Okeechobee, you can stay there as long as you want.
They do have a three-hour limit on rest areas here. But it's the same thing. If you're at a rest area right outside a major attraction, yeah, they might patrol that. But if you're at one of the rest areas where there aren't that many people, then you're probably fine.
If you want to come down for the winter in Florida and you get away from the coast, there's RV snowbird lots, I guess you call them, $1,500 for 6 months.
Yeah, that's true. You can actually just have like a semi-permanent address down here for 6 months. Mm. You know, and they have, you know, at that point you even have mail and stuff you can get. And, you know, there's like a local service. But then you're in Florida for 6 months.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I like Florida. I've lived here several times over my life. But it is interesting. If you live in southern Florida, you're kind of trapped. You have to drive 7 hours mm-hmm. to get out of the state.
I mean, it's people, a big state.
It is a big state. People think, oh, well, Texas is a big state. Florida, man. No. If you live in Miami, you are pretty isolated. You're talking at least 7 hours to get to Georgia. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit of a, I don't know, it just feels different. I had the same experience in Utah. Like, if you live in Salt Lake City, you have to drive a really long way to see another major city. Have you guys seen any ideas here that you thought, oh, that's a cool idea?
Yeah, I always do. None will come to the top of my head, of course.
But, of course, but it will eventually.
But as you wander around, you know, yeah, I could do that easily myself in my van. Mm-hmm. This, that, the other thing. And the schoolies are always good for unique ideas. They almost always self-built and creative use of space, like you were saying. And so, yeah, if you hang around the schoolie rigs, you come up with a lot of ideas.
The schoolie people are really interesting. First off, they're super friendly, and often they have kids. So almost all the kids, and there aren't that many kids here. I don't get the impression that VanFest is overrun with kids. It isn't. But there are some kids here, and they almost are always in the schoolies, and they're full-time. So they're like, this is their childhood, is living on the road, and they're doing all their lessons in the schoolie, and kids were out there yesterday selling lemonade. And then they were playing around in the middle of the night with lightsabers out in the field. I don't know what that was about. But the schoolies, some of them are just so ambitious. There's a gentleman named Ivan with his wife Sylvie. They're from Quebec. They have this massive red 45-foot bus. And I forget the numbers, but he has something like 14,000 watts of solar. I mean, it's a small city. They literally don't ever think about power, and they do everything you would do in a home. They cook with electricity. They have air conditioning. It's just stunning and super nice folks. I mean, you can just go talk to them, and they'll tell you how they did it and how they managed it and, you know, all this stuff. Nobody here seems to be doing anything other than being friendly and trying to help people.
Yeah, my favorite part of these types of gatherings is looking at the DIY vans. I'll do very few tours of the pre-built rigs, but you know, I can go to an RV show for that.
Sure.
It's the DIY vans that you get the really creative ideas and things that you haven't seen anywhere else.
It's true. Two years ago I was here, a gentleman built out an ambulance, and from the outside it just looked like an ambulance. There really wasn't anything. I mean, he had taken off the words, but it didn't look like anything. It was just, you know, whatever. Inside, he had built it like a yacht. Mm. He was a master. You remember which one I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, it was unbelievable, the level of quality and polished wood and brass. It was a thing of beauty. And you're not going to see that anywhere else. I mean, RVs are not built like this. I don't care how much you spend on an RV. They're just not. So, Nelly, you travel around the country as part of work. You're not a full-timer. But you're on the road a lot.
Yeah. And the time I spend in the van versus the time I spend at the house, gets longer and longer.
Hmm.
So the part-time van life thing has become more van for longer and longer.
Do you think you'll go full-time someday?
I don't know. I mean, I was going to be home for 3 months over the winter, and I was only home for one. So.
Wow.
And then I took off and came here, so.
And so, we'll see. What are you doing on the road? Because you're not just retired seeing the world.
No, so I sell headbands for a business called the Sassy Olive, and we design and print our fabrics. We're a team of 7 women, and everybody has their part to play, and my part is bringing the product to new customers, and it's working, and we're growing our business,
cool.
And it's awesome. And if you want to check out the headbands at thesassyolive.online, you can use code Nelly10. But yeah, so I set up a booth, which is what we are sitting in right now.
Yeah, we're actually sitting in the booth.
The craft show booth. And I sell headbands at craft shows. And so it gives me a heading, and I feel like I'm not sure how I would travel without headbands, because it gives me a place to go and a place to find, like, a route to find other things along the way.
A purpose, like.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. This comes up a lot. Like, so for me, I need some sort of a purpose for almost everything I do. So I've mentioned 8 million times that I visited every Aurora in the United States and Canada, and that was a purpose. What was I doing? I was visiting every Aurora. Why? Well, that's a longer story. But I had, you know, I knew what I was doing. That is what I was doing. And for you, it's selling headbands. That is what you're doing. So how are you going to decide where you go next? Well, you're going to find a show or something where they have a space for vending, I guess. I mean, I'm assuming that's what you do.
Yeah. So, for example, this spring, I'm going to do a craft show in Denver. And then the following weekend, I'm going to Devil's Tower.
Oh, nice.
And I'm going to summit that because I rock climb in between the shows. And then after Devil's Tower weekend, I'm going to head down to Boulder and do a craft show there. And then hit a couple more shows along the way back home before Michigan. And then I do a circuit of craft shows all over the state of Michigan.
You know, you are living somebody's dream. I mean, there are people listening to this who are like, I want that life.
Well, get a hold of me. We can talk about it.
Well,
seriously. Well, because if you do have a craft or something, a product that you're making that you can sell, I know people who RV full-time, and their product is a sauce. And it's their sauce, their recipe. They, you know, developed it, but they get it co-packed.
Mm-hmm.
So they're shipped cases of their product, and they just travel around with their kids and, you know, their whole family, and they do craft shows or like shrimp festival, cornbread festival. Like, there's all of these events that you can go and vend.
Wow, that is very cool. Now, Bruce, you're full-time.
Full-time.
You have a storage unit. That's home, I guess. But so what do you do? How do you know where you're going to go next?
Well, I've been on the road full-time for going on 4 years, I think. And, yeah, when I started out, I was just a retired guy circling through Canada down to Baja,
mm-hmm.
back across. And then I wasn't sure what my purpose or direction was. And I was sitting in Georgia trying to kill time because I didn't want to come back north because I had a wedding in Fort Myers, blah, 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 when the tornado hit Rolling Fork, Mississippi.
Oh, yeah.
And I knew people. I spent a lot of time in New Orleans, and so I was familiar with the Cajun Navy.
Oh, yeah, I know them, yeah.
So a Facebook post that they were going to Rolling Fork, and said, well, I'll go there. So, 10-hour drive.
Yeah.
And I went, and I just walked into the camp, volunteered, and stayed there for 3 months.
Wow.
Then went down to their warehouse in Lafayette, mm-hmm. and stayed there organizing after we'd been there for 3 months. And I've been doing kind of disaster recovery work since then.
No kidding. I didn't know we had that in common. That's
yeah.
funny.
Cajun Navy, and then there's a footprint project also out of New Orleans that does solar microgrids.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also spent a lot of time in Asheville. I have friends in Asheville. And actually, I have a friend that has a residential solar installation company. Mm-hmm. And I said, if I came down and you connected with anybody I could help work with. And he hooked me up with this footprint project who do great work. We go up into the hollers, as mm-hmm. well. That still don't have electricity.
Wow.
And they have connections with Tesla and all the solar panel makers and whatnot, mm-hmm. Schneider Electric.
Oh, yeah.
And we just go up with, it's like a Jack Reed, but Schneider
yeah,
makes
yeah.
it kind
yeah.
of
mm-hmm.
And it was great for like elderly people with either oxygenators or
right.
CPAP machines.
Yeah.
And you know, gave the militia guys a purpose. They could go up on their ATVs and trade out the batteries every other day. And so we had pallets of them. And then in the community centers, we set up big solar arrays with Tesla walls that they palletized. Anyway, so that was Footprint Project, and I've done a few with them. And then in between, I'm visiting friends, coming to VanFest, Schoolie Swarm, what have you.
And this is clearly somebody's dream, because, you know, I'll just mention that I did the similar thing with Team Rubicon. That was actually a big part of me getting into van life, was I was always going from disaster to disaster with Team Rubicon and sleeping in church basement floors, and I was like, you know, I have to drive here anyway. Why don't I just drive here in a van? That was, and anyway, that's where we are now. But it's not a bad life. You know, if you're in a situation where you don't have to work or you don't want to work or whatever, and you have time in a van, volunteering for any of these organizations is incredibly fulfilling. And we're talking about purpose. I mean, you will absolutely have purpose, and you'll also have some structure. It's not just wandering around like, oh, it's Sunday, I don't know where it'll go. Let's see, I'll roll the dice. If it's a one, I'll do north. And, you know, it's not like that. Well, it doesn't have to be anyway.
No, and you meet great people and, and do really great work.
And yep. It's, and there's plenty of work that needs to be done. And, John, you're in a slightly different boat. So tell us about, you're in the van a lot. So what are you doing?
So I retired a couple of years ago, and that was from federal service. And my wife retired from teaching, so I think we both got our fill of public service and doing good.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've been pretty much in the enjoying life mode, traveling, having fun mode. Our motto that we put on our little cards is retired and crushing it. Yeah. That's our purpose right now, is retired and crushing it. So we've been doing a lot of bucket list items. 33 years I spent with the federal service,
mm-hmm.
and there's a long bucket list items, about 400 items long. Including Devil's Tower, we're going there in June.
Oh, cool.
And we're just working our way down that list. I'd built out the van for a couple of reasons. Number one was, I was somewhat inspired to do that by listening to your podcast.
Uh-huh.
So I was on a train in Spain listening to your podcast that I had downloaded episodes of, a bunch of them in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to that, we had been thinking RVs and whatnot, but listening to your podcast, I said, you know, I think we can do this.
Mm-hmm.
Wife got interested in it as well. We came back, we ordered the van, built it out, and just been traveling around about 50% of the time in the van.
Wow.
And then we do international trips and stuff. Just got back from Japan for a while.
That's right, yeah. And I've seen, the van is very nice. I haven't actually seen the actual van yet, but I've seen pictures of it. This is a top quality rig he built out.
And so one of the things the reason I did the DIY, one of the big mm-hmm. reasons, is I did need a sense of purpose to transition from 100% sense of purpose to none.
Yeah.
It was essentially, mm-hmm. okay, we're going to buy out this van, I'm going to build it myself as a big project. It took me about a year because I had to learn how to do it.
Did you have a shop or anything? Or
just the garage.
Just the garage.
I had some basic tools. I had to buy all the tools. I spent a few months learning how to use the tools without cutting, so I have all my fingers.
Yeah.
Then I progressed to doing practice on mock-ups and whatnot, cardboard-aided design.
Smart.
CAD design.
Very smart.
And then started putting, it was one of those things where it seems like it takes about 80% of the time to get the foundation in place, and then you get 80% of the actual work done mm-hmm. 20% of the time.
So that's, yeah, I think that's right.
It took forever. It seems like you're making almost no progress, and all of a sudden, boom.
Yep.
And most of it's done in 20%.
I think that's exactly right. I know I'm in a new rig right now trying to figure out what I'm going to do with it, and I spend a lot of time just sitting in there and just looking and imagining and thinking, and like, and I'm still doing that. I don't know where I'm going to put my sink. I don't have a sink right now. I want to have a sink. I have no idea where I'm going to put it, but I will find a place. That will happen.
And the best thing to do is to take it out and use it while you're building it out, because then you learn things along the way of where it makes sense to put things.
Yep, that's what I'm doing right now. I found a whole bunch of leaks that I need to fix. I didn't know they were there. I can tell because I'm sleeping in it that there's light coming in around the doors. That shouldn't be, so that means those gaskets are all crushed and need to be replaced. We've got a big long list of stuff, but that's, folks, if you want to do van life, you just kind of have to do it. You don't have to do 8 million pounds of research and then spend years and years and years building out a rig, you can just dive in and give it a try. I mean, rent a minivan or rent a U-Haul, which is not allowed, but I won't tell. Anyway, no builds are a whole different type of life, and I'm living the no build life now, and it's not my preferred place, but it does work. I'm here at VanFest with people doing what I want to do, and it's in the back of a pickup truck. What is the most unexpected thing that you have had happen to you on the road?
Well, I can tell you, I don't know if I want to tell that story.
It's all editable and it's all your
okay, let me think
charge.
A second, because there's a really creepy story and there's...
Oh, I remember that one. Unless it's another one.
About the prostitute?
Oh, that's a different one. No, there was the one with the guy who was like looking in your windows and stuff.
Oh, that was my only knock.
Oh, okay.
That was the one knock. Do you want to hear the creepy prostitute story?
Sure.
Okay.
We like creepy prostitutes.
Okay, so unexpected, yes, it definitely caught me off guard. Oh boy. Okay, so I was in Guilford, New Hampshire.
I know where that is.
And I was at the Planet Fitness, and I normally don't dink around. Like, I get my stuff, I get in the gym. But at this time, I was a little later than usual. The sun was out, trying to keep the dog cool. Anyway, so I was around the van a couple of times, and I spent too much time out there. Well, then I got approached by someone who parked somewhat behind me, and he asked me some questions that didn't make any sense on why he was asking, but then he said he was down on his luck, and his friend and him were living in the car or whatever, and I said, well, I'd be happy to share resources. He asked me if I was living out of the vehicle. So I should have been more on guard, but I wasn't. Mm-hmm. And I said we could exchange like an Instagram or something, not a phone number. And he wanted to give me his OnlyFans. And then he said, I can't tell this story.
But are you going to?
So he was trying to offer his friend to me in that way, and I'll just leave it at that, and I won't give all of the details, but it was creepy. I felt so icky, because normally I take a lot of comfort in the fact that people aren't really looking at you, like they're going about their business, they're getting groceries, like they're not looking at this little van over here or what this girl is doing walking her dog. So I usually feel pretty, you know, anonymous. And this time I felt very, very seen. And that creepy feeling lasted a few weeks for sure.
Yeah, that's weird. And especially in Guilford, New Hampshire.
I know, right? At the Planet Fitness.
Yeah, like, this is not the
at
most...
At like 9 a.m.
It's kind of a little bit of a touristy area, but it's not like a big city by any means.
Yeah.
You know? Wow.
So that was odd. But it was a good reality check that some people are looking at you,
yeah,
and some people do know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So just to, you know, have certain safety habits installed in your daily, so you don't have to think about them. You're not like actively, you know, thinking someone's always looking at you. But if you're staying at a campground and you go to the store, take your camp ticket out of your window. Like, don't
That's
leave
a good
the
point.
Like
yeah.
stuff like that. Because if people see you're camping, like, just have those habits so that way you're not always thinking about, oh, I better, you know, watch my back. It's not about being paranoid.
Yeah. And, you know, there's the whole solo women traveling thing. There are different concerns there and stuff. But it's everybody's got the same concerns, because this case was kind of creepy, but it could have been someone just looking to grab your laptop or something. You know, I mean. Yeah, it's a shame that you have to think like that. And that's, here at VanFest, I mean, I don't think anybody's really thinking like that here. Everyone's just like, oh, this is all fine, and
everyone's
it's gated.
Everyone's van is open.
Yeah, our vans are open, but it's, you know, not anybody can come in here either. There's guards, so to speak.
Yeah.
So, what about you, John? What's the most unexpected thing you've encountered on the road?
So we'll go places to try to see specific animals.
Ah.
We went to Colorado, wanted to see a moose. Never saw the slightest sign of a moose. Went to a location to look for bald eagles, didn't spot a one.
Yeah, I can help you with that.
we were just just two days ago. We went to Manatee Springs.
Yeah.
Manatees have long since cleared out.
It's too cold.
So we don't have a great track record. Well, it was actually too warm.
Oh, really? Wow.
The time to see manatees is when it's cold. They'll come in
oh, they
the
come
springs
into the
springs because
yeah.
they're warm.
That's right.
We got there in the afternoon, and they're long gone. So we don't have a great track record of seeing animals when we're looking for animals. So one time that we got surprised was we were in Big South Fork, big federal river and recreation area in Tennessee up by the Kentucky border. And we're going to go hike the Twin Arches Trail, biggest natural arches east of the Mississippi. Beautiful hike. Park the van, have our bear spray because this is bear country.
Mm-hmm.
And not a minute and a half into the hike, my wife behind me goes, "Hey, John. Bear."
Wow.
I'm looking down at the ground. My job is to look for snakes and roots and stuff and warn my wife. I look up. There's a bear 25 feet in front of me.
Wow. Black bear, I'm guessing?
Big black bear.
Yeah.
Crossing from one side to the other. And it was just minding its own business. But a minute and a half from the parking lot, we see a bear. Weren't looking for it, but
yep.
I was very glad of the opportunity to see one up close. Don't want to be that close in the future.
Yeah.
It was just ambling along. We backed up. After some presence of mine, I managed to snap a few shots. It was just roaring over a hill. But that was the most unexpected thing that I've encountered so far.
I have a friend in Australia, and of course we're always joking about, oh, everything in Australia wants to kill you. But then he says, yeah, but you have bears. And, you know, he's not wrong. We have giant mammals out there that can rip through the side of your van if they want to.
There was a couple from Gatlinburg behind us on the trail, and they came up while the bear was crossing over and says, oh, that's a big bear. It's not one of those scrawny Gatlinburg bears.
How about you, Bruce? What's the strangest thing?
Strangest thing? Well...
or most unexpected. Whatever.
Well, unexpected. Since I don't plan ahead, most of it's unexpected.
That's true.
I've had a lot of nice surprises in that. Like, when I first started traveling and was posting on Instagram every day, I don't really do that anymore, but, people would be following, unbeknownst to me and from my past.
Yeah.
It's like near San Diego, and a childhood friend who I hadn't talked to in like 40 years says, hey, you're like an hour from me, why don't you come by? Came by, they had me over for dinner, I stayed in his driveway a couple nights, and we caught up on the last 40
That's
years.
Fun.
And that happened again up in San Francisco and other places. And also in that same leg of the journey, I was at this really cool campground motel near the border where people, I guess, kind of gather. They want to go into Baja, especially like solo travelers and stuff. That they want to go down to Baja, but not by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't planning on going to Baja, but a couple people, you want to go? And so a woman from Victoria, Canada or something. So, next thing I knew, I was down in Baja.
How did that go? Did you have any trouble driving into Mexico?
No, none whatsoever. This was a couple years ago. And crossed in Tecate, which is... I would avoid Tijuana.
Just in general.
It's just hours. I came back through Tijuana. It was a big mistake and just sat for hours trying to get across. But Tecate is like a little working class. Tecate on both sides of the border.
Mm-hmm.
And very small crossing. It's just people going to and from work. And there was no line. There was no hassle getting the FFM or whatever that card is, the visa-like thing.
Mm-hmm.
No hassle at all. And you skirt around Tijuana, down to Ensenada, avoid all that. And very, very friendly. You get south of Tijuana, and these family campgrounds felt very safe. It was fine. They say it's like another country from Mexico, traveling through Baja, as opposed to
I think
going along
accurate.
The Texas border.
The border. Your opinion of Mexico is largely... good timing. Your opinion in Mexico... let me deal with this thing. This is my Minutia app, and it makes me take a picture. So let's see. There, you guys are going to be in the picture. There, you're famous now. Mexico is not, it's not homogenous. The border towns in Mexico are horrible. It's the worst part of Mexico. But if you go down to Oaxaca, and almost anywhere else in Mexico, it's really nice. Mm-hmm. And it bugs me when people say, oh, no, I'm not going down to Mexico. And tell me what, you've been to Tijuana for an evening, and that's your entire experience, right?
Yeah, but it's true, along the border, they say start early in the morning, drive as far as you can, don't drive at night.
Yeah, right.
And it's...
There are precautions. You know, do some research. The gasoline quality can be variable.
Right.
You know, if you have diesel and gasoline, you got to be very careful because they won't necessarily know what to put in your tank.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard horror stories of people getting the wrong fuel because the Sprinter pulled up and it was a gasoline Sprinter and they just assumed it was diesel.
Yeah. Mm. Well, they're not driving at night, too. It's not just, like, safety because you're going to get carjacked or something. It's because you're going to come around the corner and there's going to be a herd of sheep or goats.
Yeah, they don't have interstates like we do. All right, I'm going to ask you guys one last thing. I want a tip, a piece of advice from each of you regarding van life. It can be a technical tip. It can be a life tip. It can be anything you would like. But the goal is to help other people who are in van life or thinking about starting it. Who wants to go first?
I have to think a second.
Nellie is going to think. Is that a piece of fat wood you have in your thing there?
From one of the folks we struck up a conversation with, yes.
Jeremy Crandall gave you that.
Just, here, have some fat wood.
He was handing out fat wood this morning.
Looks like it'll be a beautiful piece of kindling.
Yeah,
it'll
light right up for you.
Well, now, Bruce, you must have something. You've been on the road for a long time.
Carry fatwood at all.
Yeah, carry fatwood. That actually is not a terrible idea, but I put them on the spot.
Go ahead.
All right, Nellie's ready.
Okay, well, we were talking about this, about all the questions on the van life groups, and there are some good answers you can get for little problems or whatever, but overall, just put some stuff in your van and go to a campsite and figure
just
it out.
Just do it.
Well, seriously, because what works for me isn't going to work for everybody else, and you can get ideas, but get out of the driveway. Yeah. That's my number one advice. If you're not done yet, or if you're thinking, should I, you know, build this or that, like, put some stuff in the van, get out of the driveway, and go try it out. And the needs and the not needs will reveal themselves.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. I mean, you're doing that. It's called Built to Go for a reason. You are going. There's the going part. That's the part you're trying to do. Now, I hold aside people who are actually escaping a bad situation and this is their best option. I understand that that is true for many people, too many people. But for those who are just, they want to do this, the van is a means to an end, but you can actually skip that part and just get to the end. Anything that has wheels can be your van life, and you will learn from it and then go from there.
Taking off of that, it's a lot of people when starting out seem to have a lot of concerns about not having a plan for the next week, month, whatever, and just go and figure it out. Because you know you want to find interesting places to go, but if you don't have a very structured itinerary, which I think a lot of people are used to having, going on a cruise or whatever, you know, if you don't find an interesting place for that night, Cracker Barrel's fine.
Yeah, Cracker Barrel's pretty good.
Cracker Barrel, Flying J, where have you, between Iowa-Overlander and certain other, you can find a place.
Yeah.
And then and you plan and you meet people and you end up places you didn't expect to go and just keep going. But don't wait or worry. Because a lot of people say, well, I don't know where I'm going to stay. So you find it as you go.
Yep. And you learn self-reliance. Just in time doing van life, you have to. You are relying on yourself, and that helps you get to that point where you're comfortable. Like, it's 2 o'clock. I'm gonna head west.
Yeah.
Where are you gonna sleep? I don't know. We'll figure it out at 6 o'clock.
Exactly.
You know, and that works. What do you got, John?
So what I would say is that you know things aren't gonna go as expected.
That's true.
almost never does, and sometimes the best stories, the best adventures are what come out of. Things didn't go as expected.
Yeah.
You know, the stories that we tell, my wife and I, about some of our adventures are when things went completely haywire. And that's part of the fun of it. Being flexible, being adaptive, overcoming the challenges. That's part of what makes it fun.
Yeah, one of my favorite stories is the one time I got the knock in rural Maine. And it wasn't expected. It wasn't welcome at the time. But it turned into a good story, and no, I'm not going to tell it now. Anything else you guys want to say before we wrap this up? John?
Just in terms of a general tip, carry paper maps.
Get an atlas from Cracker Barrel.
For when you forgot to download the maps for Google, or when Verizon has an outage and you're on the opposite side of Tampa and you have to figure out how to get home and you don't have a map.
Yeah, this is advice, especially for young people. You guys grew up with these digital maps. Learn how to read a paper map and have them with you, because when that digital map goes away, and you no longer have your little voice telling you to turn left and right. You're going to have to figure it out for yourself. Mm-hmm. And you can. It's not that hard, but you have to be prepared and be able to do it. That's a great tip.
Thanks for having us on the podcast.
Well, thank you, guys. These folk, they're folks that I all met through the podcast. They have listened to the podcast, and they sought me out in various ways, and I really appreciate you guys helping. I appreciate Nelly. I appreciate you letting us use your tent.
Yes.
Because I don't think we could have done this in, out in the wind there.
Appreciate all the work that you put into the podcast.
Oh, yeah, well, geez. It's been literally my pleasure, and I'm thrilled to be back at VanFest because I missed it last year a lot. And now I feel like totally committed. And here comes a vehicle. Good time to end. Thank you, guys. And that's what it's like at VanFest. Thank you very much to Bruce, John, and Nelly for joining me for that first little session. I actually did not release them in the order they were recorded in because that's how I am. These guys are great. They're doing things in a different way, but kind of in the same way, and they all have the same spirit. And I want to take a moment to talk specifically about Nelly, because Nelly is supporting herself on the road as she does this with this product from the Sassy Olive. And I now am a proud owner of a Sassy Olive headband, and I love it. I am not a fashion guy, but I am a practical guy, and I have a sweaty forehead. It is actually a problem when I'm working and I can't see because my eyes are filled with sweat. And for that reason alone, and there are many other reasons to use her product, this thing is great. I had it on all day at VanFest and had no idea it was there. I completely forgot about it, which is wonderful for me because I wear headbands and they get irritating after an hour or so. Not these things. Now, there's all kinds of fashion reasons to wear these things. There's all kinds of hair things you can do. She knows all these tricks for putting up your hair and stuff. Those are all great, but I want to recommend these just for the one thing that I find the most important in my life, which is keeping sweat out of my eyes. They'll also help prevent sunburn, too, so you don't have to put sunscreen on your forehead, which sounds silly, but if you have a sweaty forehead, the sunscreen then mixes with the sweat and drips into your eyes, and that is very unpleasant. So there's some real talk there, but these things are great. Visit the Sassy Olive. I have a link in the show notes. It's Sassy Olive online, but if you do the link in the show notes, it links directly to Nelly's store there. I highly recommend you check it out. They're not very expensive. They don't take up much space. They come in every possible color and shape and pattern you can want. You can even have your own custom patterns made, which I might be doing. Please check these out. They're awesome. Support a fellow van lifer. And don't be afraid to contact Nelly personally and ask her about her van life, because I know she loves to talk about it. And hey, maybe you can do what she's doing or something similar. She knows how to do it. Thank you very much for listening. I really appreciate everybody. And I will be back talking to you in a normal podcast as soon as I get back to the United States, if they let me back in.